state cannabis regulators have decided not to wade into a murky area of the fledgling industry, the agreements between marijuana businesses and the communities they want to operate in. They're called host community agreements, and they're required before a marijuana business can be granted a license to operate in Massachusetts. Cities and towns are allowed to charge what's called a community impact fee of up to 3% of gross sales, but some communities are going beyond that. To talk more about what's in some of these agreements, we're joined now by WBUR's Allie Jarmanning, who's come into the studio this morning. Good morning, Allie.
Good morning.
So what happened at the State Cannabis Control Commission meeting yesterday?
So Commissioner Shalene Tidal, she made a proposal where she wanted the commission to start requiring applicants to turn over these host agreements. She wanted them to be reviewed as part of their application. She says these agreements are just another hurdle for small businesses, people of color, and others who aren't as well-resourced as these bigger marijuana businesses, especially those already in the medical industry. But her fellow commissioner said they had major concerns. They ranged from getting sued to worries that involving the commission and the local process would cause even more delays when it comes to getting legal pot shops up and running. And after her proposal was rejected, she had some harsh words for her colleagues.
There's this gigantic barrier to entry that we could choose if we just enforce the law to remove, but we're willingly going to look the other way. I think this is going to be a historic decision.
So no one is going to review these agreements?
No, the commission is just going to, right now all they need is something that says, yes, an agreement exists. What Shalene Tidal wanted was somebody to look, do these go beyond the scope of the law?
All right. You've been looking through some of the agreements. What is it that has Tidal so worried?
Yeah, we've gotten more than 40 agreements, and many of them do go beyond the 3% cap outlined in the state law. Some communities are getting tens of thousands of dollars in donations, and others are ignoring the five-year deadline.
Tell us more about these so-called donations. Who are they to, and how much are they for?
They're all over the place. Newton Charities will get $2,500. Businesses in Brookline and Amesbury will get $25,000 each year. In Northampton, if all six of the proposed businesses get up and running, local charities there could see $55,000 a year. These donations prompt a big question. Are businesses just being nice, or do they show a way communities are getting around the 3% cap?
What other issues are there?
So some cities and towns are just getting minimum fees rather than a percentage of sales. So the town of Leicester is charging at least two businesses $150,000 minimum. And Milford is asking for $250,000 from its applicant, Sierra Naturals. And so these fees are going to be charged no matter how much product the businesses sell or how much money they make.
I understand there's an agreement that really stood out to you.
Fitchburg has a few agreements in place with businesses, including one with a potential retail store owned by NSAGO Holdings. The company is being charged $50,000 as soon as it breaks ground on its store, and it'll also pay a minimum of $75,000 a year, or 3% of sales, whatever's higher. And on top of all that, it will have to create a community relations board and make $75,000 in donations each year.
So how does the city of Fitchburg explain this?
So I spoke to Christine Tree. She's the city assistant solicitor, and she first pointed out that this particular agreement is for a retailer, other licensed applicants for cultivators or product manufacturers are paying a lower fee since they'll presumably have a lower impact on the city in terms of things like traffic and public safety. But the thing that was really interesting to me is how she defended the fees and donations. Fitchburg is one of the communities considered disproportionately impacted by the war on drugs. So she says, just as there are equity provisions in the law for individuals, cities and towns have the right to ask for their own equitable treatment.
We do hope they're going to have a positive impact on us as a community. Not just one person.
You know, Allie, on the other hand, some might say that these agreements are shakedowns.
Yeah, that's kind of the concern. Shalene Tidal has said that she doesn't want small businesses to be locked out from being able to go into some of these communities. And of course, these agreements are the ones that communities have opened their arms to pot shops. These are the communities that are on the early forefront of welcoming pot shops into their town. There are also towns that aren't necessarily as welcome to marijuana establishments, and these might be an actual barrier to keeping the shops out of their town.
Okay, so what comes next?
So the commission is still going to collect these agreements, though they're not going to necessarily do anything about them. And they said they may ask the legislature eventually to step in and provide some guidance, but that's not going to happen until lawmakers are back in session next year.
WBUR reporter Allie Jarmanning will follow this. Thanks for coming in this morning.
Thank you.